Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Jane, do you remember the ice bucket challenge?
Yes, I do.
Did you do it?
I did do it.
Was it cold?
It was really, really cold.
I actually, this was 2014, and I didn't do it, but I remember my brother did it, and he was in Italy at the time, and ice in Europe is just not as readily available and put into everything as it is in the United States. There's not as many like ice machines, especially on the island of Sardinia. And so he took all of the ice they had in the ice chest and did the challenge. And I'm not sure his housemates were very happy with it.
You took all the ice.
Their rosé. But so fast forward to now, which is 8 years later, and this thing that totally swept the internet as far as people's attention to ALS and doing the ice bucket challenge raised a ton of money. And now we have a new development. And so to join us for the next half hour to tell us about this development is Marianne Huen, who is the Managing Director of Care Services, and Ashley Yoder, who's the Managing Director of Development for the ALS Association, serving Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Iowa. Ladies, welcome to the show, and let's talk about what developments have happened over the last 8 years.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. So I guess before we get into what has been done with all the money that was raised, for people who have only heard ALS but don't actually know what it is, what is ALS?
Sure, I can start with that. So it's a neurodegenerative disease that actually impacts somebody's muscles and their ability to move. So oftentimes you'll notice that people have difficulty using their fingers or their hands, or they'll have difficulty starting to walk. Those are kind of the initial phases of the disease. And as it progresses, it continues to impact those muscles at a greater level, often leaving somebody in a wheelchair, unable to move, things like that. So it's a progressive disease that, just keeps impacting somebody's muscles throughout the process.
And so what, I can't even remember now, who first started the ice bucket challenge? Like, how did that all start?
Yeah. It was two really good friends, Pat Quinn and Pete Frades, who were both diagnosed with ALS at an early disease, okay, and said, we need to do something about this. And it was really started with each of them challenging each other and then their close friends. And then it exploded.
And it did. I mean, it exploded. It's funny because just time, and 8 years ago doesn't seem like, when I think about the ice bucket challenge, it doesn't feel like that long ago. And yet 8 years ago is a lifetime ago as far as what I was doing with my life and all of that. But so how much money ended up being raised, and how many people ended up actually recording themselves pouring ice over their head?
Yeah, there was about 17 million people that participated in the viral ice bucket challenge. I think it really was something unique. And at the time, social media was still a little bit new in some ways. And so it was something for people to latch onto. This is pre-TikTok and all the videos. Something new. This was some engaging aspect. And it ultimately raised over $115 million for the ALS Association. Just incredible.
Which is incredible. And you're right, because I think Instagram was around, Twitter was around, but it was still predominantly Facebook at the time that people were sharing these videos. Mm-hmm. And so what happened with all the money?
Yeah, I can certainly start, and then Ashley, you can add if you want. So a lot has happened with the money. One, we have funneled an incredible amount into research. Over $122 million has already gone into research worldwide since that time. In addition, a significant amount has gone into running care services and the programs that we provide that actually help people live with this disease and live it to their fullest. And with that, in addition to like the research, there has been an incredible amount of new collaborations that have taken place that we think are really going to continue to propel all of our research forward in a way that it needs to.
And so the reason I ended up even finding out about this is I saw a headline that said, remember the ice bucket challenge? Well, there's a new drug. And so that is, and it sounds like it's a very encouraging, like people are very excited about what was been able to be developed with the money that came from the ice bucket challenge funneled into trying to, you explain it to me as far as what this drug actually does.
Yeah. So, so it's AMX0035, but the actual name of it is Relive Rio. So it actually slows down the progression of this disease. And so, you know, again, like if somebody is diagnosed, like in the first year, they might find that they're having more difficulty, like pinching their fingers or holding that together. This drug could actually slow that down so that instead of, say, if a person progressed to that point within a year, maybe it's now a year and a half or even longer before they start to see some of those changes. So it really prolongs individuals' lives. I think probably the most exciting thing that I've seen in some of the studies is that it can prolong somebody's life 10 to 18 months, which for a disease that has a lifespan typically of 2 to 5 years from the time you're diagnosed to the time somebody passes away, 10 to 18 months is a significant amount of extra time that we can now provide.
That's incredible. And especially because it's what I understand, it's a very painful disease, not only just emotionally and psychologically, as far as not being able to do the things that you used to be able to do, but like the actual physicality of how it manifests in your body is painful, right?
It can be. It usually isn't that, but there definitely there can be like tremors that can be painful and things along those lines. But in essence, it's your muscles, like the only way I can say it is your muscles kind of wasting away. So, you know, they just don't want to work anymore. That's probably the most difficult part is oftentimes people will know what they want to do. Like if you want to say, I want to raise my hand and wave to somebody, you may know in your head you want to do that, but your muscles just don't have the strength anymore to do that for you. So I think emotionally, it's a really tough disease because you're having to change what you're doing kind of on a routine basis from, you know, I used to be able to raise my hand and wave at somebody, and now I can't do that by myself anymore. So it's a difficult disease in those regards.
We're talking to Marianne Kuen and Ashley Yoder, who both work for the ALS Association serving, I'll just say the Midwest instead of all, but most of the Midwest states, our neighbors. And so what I read in the article was that this was, even though 8 years is a lifetime in certain ways, it's pretty short when it comes to FDA approval for a new drug, correct?
Yeah, it's when we look at how long it actually takes to bring a typical drug to market, you're looking at about 10 to 15 years.
Wow.
The cost to bring a drug to market is usually around $2 billion. That's for one drug.
Wow, that's just hard to even wrap your brain around. You had mentioned earlier, Marianne, about how important collaboration is. And has that helped speed up this whole process by working with scientists around the world?
Oh, most definitely. And some of the leading ALS organizations are continuing to get together and look at how we can do research differently. So there are new trials out there that are really harnessing a whole bunch of different research ideas and pooling them into one. Things like that we hope will actually speed up the research process. So like I said, instead of the 10 to 15 years, maybe we're looking at 5 to 7 years before we can really get a drug moved forward and ready for approval. But yeah, there's a number of steps, and rightfully so. We understand it takes a long time because you want to make sure the drug is safe and effective. But and then globally, just a different initiatives in terms of how we develop tools that people can use so that they can live with this disease, even if they may not be able to use their muscles in the same way. They can use new technologies that will allow them to live in a world and communicate with their friends and family as they want to.
And so with the development of this drug and different tools, and so is this the path forward as far as, because this is my total naivete on the subject, but is the course correct more of like making life longer, making life more comfortable, living with the disease, or how much hope is there that there's a prevention aspect to ALS?
Well, we all have hope that we're getting to
fair.
That point.
Yes.
ALS is a really complex disease, which makes finding like that one trigger that we think could actually prevent it really difficult, because it manifests in people in different ways. There's a lot of different genes that go into it. You know, one person may have a particular gene that makes them predisposed to ALS, where another person does it. And so a lot of it takes understanding those genetics and why somebody might be, you know, more predisposed to having this disease than somebody else. But, you know, the hard part is there are still more questions than answers at this stage. We do believe in the coming years, we're going to get more of those answers. In the 7 years I've been here, I will say we've learned more in those 7 to 8 years than we probably had in the previous 20 or 30 years combined. So we are making progress, significant progress. A lot more still needs to happen. We need to continue to fund research to keep moving all of these projects along and keep working on figuring out the answers as to why this is happening.
And I'll also add to that, I think, you know, ALS is, as Marianne mentioned, it manifests in so many different ways. I make it similar to cancer in that there's so many different types of cancer and there's multiple different cancer treatments. ALS is similar. There's lots of different types of ALS. So it's not going to be probably one drug that cures ALS. And so we're looking at a multitude of projects and drugs as answers. But as Maria mentioned, first is figuring out what causes this. And we've barely scratched the surface of that. So we're hopeful, but we know there's a lot more work to be done.
And how prevalent is it? Because I feel like we hear lots of stories. I mean, we have, I don't know, do we pull the Bob Uecker? Well, we don't have to play it right now, but I mean, you hear, because sometimes these stories bubble up, but as far as both the idea of how many people this affects and also early screening, is that something that you guys advocate for as far as things to watch out for as people potentially are seeing symptoms or signs of needing a diagnosis of this?
Yeah. Early screening is a little bit harder to identify because there isn't like a specific trigger we're looking for. It's usually diagnosed after you've ruled out a number of other things. The prevalence, I can say in Wisconsin, at any given time, there are about 600 to 650 people living with ALS. So it's considered a rare disease, although, you know, if you talk to one person who has known somebody with ALS, they will in turn know somebody else who has been diagnosed with it.
Because it's just, let's play that actually, because if you want to set it up, because you sent this clip over of Bob Uecker, and this was after the drug got approved that he sent this over?
I think this was back in June, I want to say. Bob Uecker, very passionate, connected to our community. And so this was part of our Lou Gehrig Day that we're working with the MLB on. And so we had a Lou Gehrig Day celebration back in June. And so this PSA is from that.
Perfect. Let's play that.
Hi, I'm Bob Uecker. I was 5 years old when Lou Gehrig retired from baseball because of ALS. It's been 8 decades since Lou's speech, and we still don't have a cure for this devastating disease that affects thousands of Americans every year, including my daughter, Leanne. But we are making progress, and we need your help to finally strike out ALS. Please join us by visiting ALS.org. Thank you.
Oh, that's great. I didn't realize his daughter also suffered from it.
Yes. Yeah, she did. Yeah. And, you know, one other thing I'll say about ALS is it can impact anybody at any time in their life. All across the world.
So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd love to hear, just to bring it full circle, some of the more memorable Ice Bucket Challenge challengers and acceptance when we come back. And then we'll also give more resources that you guys can send people to our audience to check out your website and everything. So stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking about whatever happened with the Ice Bucket Challenge and the $115 million that was raised across 17 million people participating in it back in 2014. And our guest this half hour to tell us what happened with all of that money is Marianne Kuen, who is the Managing Director of Care Services, and Ashley Yoder, who's the Managing Director of Development for the ALS Association, serving Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Iowa. And Jane had a question.
I did, ladies. You had mentioned earlier about adaptive devices that some of this money is going to fund, and I'm curious what that encompasses. Are we talking robotics? Are we talking improvements with wheelchairs?
All of the above, yes. There's improvements with wheelchairs where people can, with their eyes, move their wheelchair back and forth, turn it around, elevate it, things like that. There's also some really incredible, and this is kind of maybe over top my head a little bit, but brain interface, where people can wear these headsets that actually track their brain waves and can use that to send messages, communicate with their friends and family. It's incredible stuff.
It's mind-blowing, literally.
Yeah. So, yeah, it really is.
Were both of you working for in or around ALS when the Ice Bucket Challenge was going on?
So I came in right after it. Okay. It had really blown up, and then I came in shortly after that, and I think Ashley was right there along with me.
Yeah, so I came in right after the Ice Bucket Challenge. I actually participated in the Ice Bucket Challenge because my mom was living with ALS at the time of it. So that was my connection to the ALS community, as I lost her in 2014 and then joined the association. So I remember it very vividly.
And I was going through some of the flashbacks in that time of Oprah did it and LeBron did it and Amy Schumer, because she was already super famous by then, did it. And I was just scrolling through. And the thing that was crazy, I mean, really, if you talk about how much time has changed, David Lynch challenged Putin, if you people remember that. And like, it's so wild how much this took over for that whole summer, as far as people's, you know, people who maybe not weren't even connected to it, but it was just a fun thing to get on. And do you feel like, especially Ashley, for you as someone who works in development, do you feel like lightning can strike twice? Maybe not for ALS, but as far as what was it about that kind of fundraising mechanism that was so viral?
It not only is it raising the money, but more importantly, it raised awareness.
Yeah.
People actually like, oh, ALS. So now when we talk about it, people don't totally understand it unless they've encountered someone living with ALS, but now the word isn't so foreign to them, and we can actually talk about it and they can kind of understand it. Now, the Ice Bucket Challenge didn't necessarily relate back to ALS is what happens with ALS and what the disease means, but the word is now more commonplace. And so in a fundraising perspective, people are like, oh yeah, Ice Bucket Challenge. And now we have a starting point to go off of. So the awareness it raised, I think, is almost, if not equally important as the dollars raised from it.
Absolutely. And was there any celebrity that you were specifically surprised, you remember, as far as being involved, that was participating?
Well, one of my favorites probably was, we had someone that went around the country and did the next summer Ice Bucket Challenges, but without ice. And it was each state, something specific to that state. So for example, he came to Minnesota and Kent Herbeck, Minnesota Twins legend, did a Bloody Mary challenge on him. And so it's really fun to see people's spinoffs of what that looked like.
So was Wisconsin just a bunch of cheese curds?
It was not beer. That would have been fitting, but I think it was like the whey from the cheese curds, which is actually
that sounds like a much messier, like less cold challenge, but very messy challenge. All right. So as far as awareness of things that are coming up, whether it's places where people can still get more information or donate, what could people look out for?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the favorite way for people to get involved is the Walk to Defeat ALS. The address, the website, walktodefeatals.org. We actually have one coming up here in Madison this Saturday at Vilas Park.
Oh,
and
wow.
So Yeah, it's a great option for people to come and get involved. It's completely free to come and show up and show your support. Of course, donations are gladly accepted, but it's a great way to get involved with the ALS community and just see how strong and resilient the families are.
Absolutely. And anything else as far as information to get out there to anyone in our audience?
Our website is als.org. There's tons of information about all the research happening, lots of information about the new drug, as Marianne mentioned. You can also see a map of all the research projects happening across the world that the ALS Association is funding. There's over 160 of them right now. So it's kind of fun to hop on the website and see what all is out there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I was just checking the forecast. Madison, Saturday, sunny and 67, baby. It's gonna be a perfect day for a walk.
It's gonna be a great day for a walk.
We're in that the fake fall. So is it going to be winter? Is it still going to be nice? 67 on a late October. I'll take that.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
All right, ladies, thank you so much for joining us. We'll link all of the information that you just listed on our website for today's blog post for today's episode. But Marianne Kuhn is the Managing Director of Care Services, and Ashley Yoder is the Managing Director of Development for the ALS Association. Thank you so much for joining us today, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So if you have any memories as far as way back when in 2014, if you did the ice bucket challenge, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. If you have any memories around that time in your life, I just remember I was going to do it. I forgot why I ended up not doing it. Jane, what was your experience when you did it?
Some coworker challenged me, and this was when I was still on Facebook. So a coworker had challenged me, and then I went on to challenge a couple other people. I would love to find the David Lynch Putin challenge. That's priceless.
That's priceless. Do you think there's a video of you doing it somewhere out there?
Oh,
we found the original Pacarena song, so I feel like we'd probably...
Which is coming up later. I'm sure it's on Facebook somewhere if you really want to look at that.
We really want to find it? All right.
At least it was ice bucket and not like herring bucket challenge or something. It could have been so much worse.
So much worse. All right. Well, if anyone out there finds the video of Jane Matinere circa 2014 doing the ice bucket challenge, text it over to us, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, Halloween costumes, student debt. We got a ton coming up on this day's show. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Like a chemical spill. Feasible rhymes you can vision and feel. Conducted in form, this is a hell of a concept. We make it hype, and you want us to print this. Shape plays on a fade, slice like a ninja, cut like a razor blade so fast. Other DJs say, damn, a rhyme was a drug, I'd sell it by the gram. Keep my composure when it's time to get loose. Magnetized by the mic while I kick my juice. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while DJ revolves it. Yo, man, let's get out of here. Word to your mother. Ice, ice, baby.